You would please turn with me to the book of John, chapter 5. We're going to be reading verses 1 to 18. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 18. If you're using the Bibles in front of you, you will find that on page 753. And God's word says this. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid said, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I was trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." Once the man was cured, he picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But the man replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd, and that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well again. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was also calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God." God's word is awesome and powerful, and look forward to seeing what it has for us this morning.
This time we're going to ask Mr. Ryan Wilichko if he would please come and bring a special for us this morning. And immediately after Ryan's completion of his song, the children's church will be dismissed. So Ryan, God bless you. I ask you to please open up once again to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. The Gospel of John, chapter 5. Children are often asked, "What does your daddy do?" And every once in a while, you get some interesting replies. Because I'm going to be honest with you, most of the time, little children really don't know what their daddy does. And they somehow have the ability to build up their daddies. And, that's perfectly okay. But the story is told of a class one time the teacher was going around the classroom and saying, "What does your daddy do?" And these kids were kind of going along and they were living up in Michigan, up in that area. And as the teacher was going around the room and saying, "What does your daddy do?" This one child would say, "Well, my daddy's a doctor." And the teacher knew that wasn't true, but kind of went on to the next person. The next one says, well, my daddy's a policeman, because they just kind of wanted to outdo each other. I don't know if a doctor is outdone by a policeman or not, but nonetheless, in this child's mind, that was the case. The teacher came to the third child and said, "What does your daddy do?" And he sat there for a few minutes and he thought. And he got this puzzled look on his face and he says, "Well, whatever mommy tells him." probably the only truthful child in that group. But oftentimes, you know, we really don't know when we're little kids what daddy does. And you know, that even translates out into our daily life when we begin to think of our Heavenly Father. What does our Heavenly Father do? Because sometimes we get so wrapped up in our everyday lives and with everything that's going on in the world and everything that's going on around us, we think, man, God must have gone to sleep. Where's He at? What's He doing? And we forget that He is at work, even in the difficult days of this world. He is still at work. He is still sometimes in the background trying to give us help and hope. Sometimes He's in the foreground trying to lead us and try to guide us. But He is always setting before us the example of the fact that He is a God who works. He is a dad who provides for His children. As we look at this particular passage of Scripture, and I want to read it again, but I want us in particular to notice the 17th verse on this Labor Day weekend. But we're going to read this whole passage where Jesus heals the paralytic man. Beginning at verse 1. It says, after these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water, and whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. And a certain man was there who had been 38 years in his sickness. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, do you wish to get well? Isn't that an interesting question? Do you wish to get well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, arise, take up your pallet and walk. And immediately the man became well and took up his pallet and began to walk. Now, it was the Sabbath on that day. Therefore, the Jews were saying to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not permissible for you to carry your pallet. But he answered them, he who made me well was the one who said to me, take up your pallet and walk. They said to him, who is this man who said to you, take up your pallet and walk? But he who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away while there was a crowd in that place. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse may befall you. The man went away and told the Jews it was Jesus who had made him well. And for this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But he answered them, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, you have set before us an example of laboring. Father, in our nation, we celebrate this weekend the privilege that we have of being able to work, of being able to provide. Lord, of being able to have our needs met by working with others and with you in accomplishing great things. Father, I pray that you would help us to follow your example and to realize that doing good never takes a day off, but that doing good is honorable. And so, Jesus, please settle in among us and teach us the principles of labor that we might honor you. And we'll give you thanks and we'll give you praise. For it's in the awesome name of Jesus we pray. Amen. In this particular passage of Scripture, and we're really going to focus on the 17th verse, I just want to share with you a couple of things today. That's a little bit of a departure from my usual seven. But I would like to share with you, first of all, the declaration of Jesus that my Father works. My Father works. And then I want to share with you then Jesus' declaration of, and I work. And I work. And I want to declare to you that we as well are to be involved in the work of the Father and the Son. So let's look at this. First of all, my Father works. You know the circumstances, you know the situation, and the fact that that Jesus has healed on the Sabbath, and now he's come under attack for that. He's doing the right thing. He's doing the honorable thing. He is helping someone when they're going through a difficult, difficult moment. And so Jesus goes and he says to this guy, look, do you want to get well? Do you really want to get well? You know, there's a lot of people in this modern day world that really don't want to get well. They really don't. There's a lot of them that don't want to get well spiritually. They would rather live in their sin than be filled with joy in salvation. And so they reject the example of God. There are a lot of people who are content to have everybody else take care of them when they're able-bodied and they can take care of themselves. But they would just as soon let someone else do it. And that dishonors God. There are a lot of people who just really don't want to get well. And consequently, they continue to live their lives in the limitations. And in living their lives in limitations, they don't acknowledge the authority, the power, and the example of God. For our God is not limited. There are many people who have legitimate physical issues. I understand that. But we're not discussing that kind of thing. We're talking about a sickness of the soul that says, I'd rather someone else take care of me rather than honoring God. You know, in this country, our even our government tries to direct people away from earning an honorable living. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. Pay attention to some of the campaign promises that are being made left and right. And I'll tell you what, take every one of those campaign promises and compare them to the Word of God and say, boy, is that what God would have me do? And so even before you step into the voter's booth, pay attention. Is this particular candidate encouraging me to be what God would have me to be? Or is this candidate encouraging me to be someone who doesn't want to get well? Be very careful, even in your voting. Because it becomes important that, especially within the church, that the principles of God are lived out day by day in the lives of believers. Live honorably and watch God bless your life. And not only your life, but He will use you as a great example before others and bring about change in their lives. Our Heavenly Father works. Even until now, He is working. And He is doing great things. He is at work in you. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, talks about the fact that it is God who is at work in you. Paul also tells us that we are His workmanship, created in Christ for good works. And that we are to live our lives in a way that honors God in everything that we do. And I'll tell you what, that means that we become people of integrity, people of honor, people of honesty, people who will follow the plan and the will and the program of God. And that's vitally important in this day and age in which we live, because so many people are not concerned about who they might steal from. That doesn't matter. They'll cheat on taxes when they know that God says, don't do that. Jesus Himself said, look, give to Caesar what's Caesar's. Render unto God what's God's. If you try to cheat on your taxes, you are dishonoring God. You see, in all of these areas, the example has been set for us. And that's how we are to live our life and to recognize that as we live in Christ, as we live in God, we are to honor Him because He is at work in our life bringing about changes. And it is God who gives the power for the work. It is God who gives the purpose for the work. Paul, writing to the young preacher Timothy, said this, if a man will not work, don't let him eat. If he will not work, don't let him eat. If he will not honor labor, don't feed him. You know what happens when someone goes hungry long enough? They go out and get a job. That's what happens. They go out and go to work. And they provide. And they honor God in that fashion. So that becomes an important aspect of who we are. Ladies and gentlemen, the world is watching you and I. They're watching us every day. They're watching us when we go to work. They're watching us if we refuse to work. They're watching us in everything that we do, looking for a reason to excuse their own sinful behaviors. And so it's important that we follow the example of our Heavenly Father. God works. Notice what Jesus said. My Father is working until now. God didn't create this world, set it spinning, and go and decide, that's it. I don't have to do anything anymore. One of these days it'll spin down, and when it does, I'll just clean up the mess. No. God is at work in us. And then Jesus continues with that thought when he says, and I myself am working. I work. He didn't care what the Pharisees had to say. When he saw someone who had a need and he could meet that need, he reached out and took care of that need. He didn't think, what day is this? He wasn't doing this for his own. He was doing it to bless someone else. And folks, it's okay to bless someone else, no matter what day it is. Jesus has set the example for us, and we need to follow his example. As we follow the example of Christ, we find that needs are met, and that's necessary. When needs are met in other people's lives, God honors that. He blesses them and blesses us as well. Secondly, he gives us a sense of accomplishment. Not only are there needs that are being met, but he gives us a sense of accomplishment. A sense of accomplishment produces in us a desire to continue to work for the Master's cause. And the more that we work for the Master's cause, the more sense of accomplishment we feel. And the greater the sense of accomplishment, the more we work for the Master's cause. You'll notice Jesus is talking in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24, and he's talking about the judgment. And he says this. He says, there's going to come this point when we're all going to stand before the Father. And we're going to hear one of two things. We're either going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into your joy. Or we're going to hear, depart from me, you who work iniquity, go to the lake of fire that's prepared for the devil and his angels. That's the only two things we're going to hear. We are not going to hear, well, I'll tell you what, let me set you aside here for a few years until you have suffered enough that you can come into my presence. No, that's nowhere in Scripture. Pay attention that that's nowhere in Scripture. When we stand before God, we're going to hear either the words, well done, or depart from me. That's it. That's the only choices. Well done. If we have served him well, if we have exhibited his principles, his plans, if we have honored him with our life, if we have honored him by being honorable people in the faith, we're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. But if we haven't, depart from me, you who work iniquity, for I don't know you. It's that simple. What do you want your meeting with God to be like? What do you want to hear? You want to know something? If you want to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," then, now catch this, this life can't be all about you. It's got to be about Him. Soon as you make it all about you, you're headed the other direction. Labor for the kingdom's sake. Labor for the Lord. Acknowledge that it is He who gives you strength, He who gives you provision. Acknowledge that it is He who has set the example before you, and live your life in a way that brings glory to God, and He will bless you forever and forever and forever. This short period of time that you're here, that Paul says is like a vapor, it's here and then gone. During this time that you have, you work for the Lord. Labor for Him. And hear the words, "Well done." Don't labor for Him, and hear the words, "Depart from me." It's the only choice. We celebrate Labor Day this weekend. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 13 tells us, "Commit your works unto the Lord, and you will prosper." Commit your works unto the Lord, and you will prosper. Does that mean that you're going to have a pink Cadillac and $1 million in the bank here? No. Doesn't mean that. But it does mean you'll have all of the riches of heaven when this life is done. Commit your works to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Commit everything that you are to the Lord. And He will prosper you. Labor, for the day is coming when no man can work. Labor. Provide, not just for yourself, for your family, and for those who are without and who are unable to care for themselves. Let's stand. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to please take your hymnals and open up to number 106. Number 106. Praise Him, praise Him. This is not an invitation song. This was not an invitation message. But as is always the case, our altar's open. And if you're here today and you'd have to say, "You know what, I need to make this change in my life, and I need to work for the Lord," and you want to give that over to the Lord today, this altar's open. You come. You come. I would be thrilled to pray with you and to help you through that. So if God is speaking to you, you step out and come. But let's praise God for the great example He has set for us. And now, may the grace of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the love of Jesus Christ rest and abide upon you, and fill you with all joy and hope and peace. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.